is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, whose world is this?
It's yours, it's mine,
whose world is this?
The world is yours, the world is yours.
Ooh, welcome to Rex's World, ladies and gentlemen. We're here without my favorite co-host, Brian Brooks, but Rex is here in his world, and he's got a co-host filling in. He's got his best friend from high school, best friend for most of his life, but also the brand new host of Talkin' Sports from the Couve. We just got done recording the first episode, actually. You guys will hear that later on this week, but please welcome Vancouver's hero, Ryan Black.
Well, I appreciate that. Quite the introduction there, Rex. Thank you so much.
Oh, Brian. Yeah, Brian's going to be pissed because he's like, you've never introduced me like that.
Oh, yeah. No. thanks for keeping the heat and the rivalry between me and Brian going strong there.
Yeah, he already gives me a bunch of flack because his head's not big enough on the promo or the poster, but I'm trying to keep the art because it's Rex's world, so like it's like a little like coming out of my head type of thing. So he's included of coming out of my head. So but when I tried one time to do a poster of both of us in that same head position, I had to make the poster horizontal. I couldn't leave it in a normal poster size. I had to like go canvas mode to fit his big old head next to my big old head. But both Brian and I have big heads. We can't just put them next to each other. So I gave him his own little spot. He looks like the sun. He looks like the moon. It's got his name there. Jono's face isn't on the poster, but he's the producer. I mean, come on.
You don't see Jono complaining. No. He's a good sport.
Oh, yeah. What I got to do, and you guys will laugh at this, is I got to present to him like a you want a bigger spot? You got to start doing bigger spots. I want to see a top rope. I want to see a top rope elbow before I start giving you a bigger spot. Let me see a moonsault.
A spot fest in your match equals a bigger spot on my show.
Absolutely.
You guys are my doorway out of community radio.
Oh, gosh.
Going big time.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I mean, could you imagine big old Brian Brooks on the top rope, and then you just see him do a shooting star press? Like the Brock one?
Oh, my gosh.
We're in a 10 by 12 room right now.
In an independent wrestling ring, nonetheless. Oh, that's what I would like to see.
That poor top rope.
Yeah, a shooting star press in an independent wrestling ring.
Because the ceiling's not tall enough.
No, exactly. Exactly. You and I are picturing the venue to a T in this moment.
And he gets stuck in the roof. And you just see his legs kicking. Like, dang it, Rex, why'd you tell me to do this?
Just him sticking through the particle board, flailing.
He's just stuck up there.
He's going to put me in a headlock next time he sees me now.
We clearly miss you, Brian. Enjoy your time with Bob Evans. He's at a Bob Evans seminar, actually. I'd rather hang out with Bob Evans than hang out with me, too. It's okay. But we've got a great show for you guys because here we may not have a guest today, but because of that, me and Ryan get to talk in an extent about, probably not my most proudest moments. You guys, if you guys really wanted to hear stories or kind of find out about the wilder side of how Rex used to live, because I mean, I do got to say I am sober now.
He's a lot tamer these days is what he's trying to say.
Taking Ryan on adventures that nearly cost him his life. Whether we're driving home from somewhere, or I don't tell him exactly what we're doing until he gets there.
Okay, so the family won't know about this episode. Good to know.
there's been some crazy ones, but Ryan's also got some funny stuff too, because I am very good at talking Ryan into doing things. I'm going to start with a fun story that's going to be more on Ryan's end here, just so he's got some time to load some up. But, Ryan's not a drinker. He's never really been a drinker. But one of our closest friends was getting married, And I was one of the groomsmen, and I was Ryan's ride. Ryan came with me to the wedding because he needed a ride to the wedding anyways. So he came early with us. So he was doing all of the groomsmen stuff with us. So every time we were taking shots or celebrating, I was like, come on, buddy. And I was elbowing him, getting him to just a little bit. And then I'd pour the shot way too big, and then he'd drink it. And he handled himself very well while he was drunk. It was once the wedding had started.
Oh man, you forgot to mention what you were making me drink. Oh, I think that's an important part of the
Crown
story,
Royal, wasn't it?
It was the Apple Crown Royal.
So it goes down pretty easy.
Yeah, that's the sneaky stuff. Yes,
it goes down very smooth. I was like, it tastes like apples. You'll be fine.
It still did not taste like apples. It definitely tasted like alcohol.
But he made it through the whole time. Like, we get through the, and I think it was, so was it? It was a quieter part of the wedding. So they were like talking to each other. Were they giving the vows, or was
it? All that had happened. Then we went down. The ceremony was happening. I would say I probably took, I think you forced me to take like 4 or 5 shots.
Pretty consecutively.
And this is, again, somebody that had only been drunk once in his life up to that point. Again, that is also a story, thanks to this man. So they all went like right to my head. And so, you know, I don't remember much of anything until after the ceremony. And I'm like, this is also a hot 90 plus muggy day up in Washougal in the summer, sun beating down on you, in long sleeve clothes. So
we have wedding attire,
just miserable at this point. Right. So I'm like, I'm going back to the upstairs room where, you know, everything was happening beforehand. So I get back up there and it is hot and I am sweating. So I turned the lights off and I took my shirt off and I just sat down. Caleb can take over the story for a second here, because this is his favorite part to tell.
So we finished the wedding. We're walking back. We're all grooms. We're like high five it. Like, yeah, we did it. Good game. Yeah, we're going back to where we changed, and we're like, where are the lights off? We flip the light on, and there, right in the, like, first off, it's yeah, woo, we turn the lights off. Oh God! And it's Ryan sitting in a recliner chair, like just sitting there. He's not reclined. He's like leaning forward, like he's playing a video game or something. Hands on his knees, beating sweat, like dripping sweat. Like you would have thought he got out of a pool. And he looks like he just saw a ghost. And we're looking at him like, Ryan, are you okay? I don't think I should drink.
that is the moment when I was like, yes, alcohol is not for me, folks.
That's what he said. The only words we got out of him was, I don't think I should drink. And we were like, oh, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Just stay here. Breathe. We're going to go out here to the reception. We got some speeches to make. You know, just hang out in here. It's nice and cool. Come out when you're ready.
No. I came down with you guys.
Did you?
Yeah,
did
so I came down because I ate.
Oh yes, that's right.
Because I had food before you guys started your speeches.
Which ended up being a bad idea.
Very bad because idea. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, because he's waddling his way through. We think he's okay. We get to the speeches, and I'm in the middle of my speech, and there's like some quieter pause points, right? And I'm saying these really sentimental things and nice things about one of my closest friends since like kindergarten. And every time I'd pause, so I'd be like, me and Anthony, we had a really, really great childhood. I still remember playing Lord of the Rings in the back seat. Yeah. And then every time I'd pause, you just hear it in the background.
Yeah.
You just hear it like out in the forest somewhere.
Yeah, mind you, it was in the woods, so I didn't do it on somebody's driveway or something.
Off. He snuck off while we were doing this. He found his way to walk his way into the woods, snuck his way in, and we thought it was like a bear or an animal, because you just hear, it was perfectly timed. It was like he was trying to listen to my speech. It was like he was really trying to be a good friend and hear it all. But every time he's like, okay. Oh! Okay, keep going.
Oh! I was, too. No.
Keep going. I love Anthony. He's like, oh!
It's so true. I was too. That's 100%, 100% true. Oh, that was also the day that we broke down. You got a flat tire on
the way back.
On the way back.
On the way back from Washougal, late at night. Yeah, our tire popped.
Right, we're right by the Camus paper mill too.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had the nice fumes coming our direction.
I hate the smell of Camus.
Everybody does. That's what Kelso should smell like.
But what was the first time I got you drunk? I don't quite remember
when
that.
When we went camping in high school.
Oh,
and
yes!
You kept giving me Jello shots.
Yes.
Those went down far easier, I will say, than the Crown Royal did.
Yes, my family would always go to this place, Camper's Hideaway, and camp every summer. And all my family would go. It was a big event. And my friends started to come, and like it became this thing. Everybody was excited about going, and we brought Ryan this time. And there, and I think that was the night they had the big dance.
Yeah, there was
a big, they do this big like outside community dance thing. And yeah, here's Ryan just dancing his ass, he's dancing away while he's just hammered. And Ryan likes music, and you don't need to talk Ryan into dancing. So drunk Ryan dancing is like. Is like when you get like SpongeBob or Squidward to dance, and like the colors in the background start changing, and he's like, "Whoo!" And he's wiggling and chanting and jamming. Like that is exactly the type of Ryan you get when you get him drunk and ask him to dance. That's what we should have done. We should have gotten you to dance. We should have been like
at the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, we might have distracted you from Ralphin.
I still think the funniest part of that whole wedding story is the precursor that I set up, because that marriage dissolved within like 2 or 3 years. So that's the best part of that story. The best part of that story for me is like the fact that I pretty much put a curse on that wedding based off
biggest memory of the whole thing.
Biggest memory of the whole thing is like finding out that they ended up splitting up, and I was like, yeah, that was doomed from the start because of me.
Oh, my goodness.
I am the reason that never worked out.
Ryan can be the one to blame for that.
Yeah.
Or credited. We don't know how this played out. But the acoustics of the forest were really to blame here.
Yes.
I mean, you made every effort to hide.
I tried.
I commend you. Had I been there, I would have tried to make some kind of noise.
Well, you know,
rattle a chair around on the floor while you were doing it. Buy you some.
I thought it was deep enough into the forest that nobody was hearing me. And I also knew that I wasn't going to make it back upstairs to the bathroom. So I was like, it's better in the woods where nobody has to clean it up.
Yeah,
and so I'm being considerate if you think about it.
And also, to your credit, you know, you thought there were three times as many trees.
Exactly.
Right. No, it perfectly makes sense.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. You were. Every time you look at one tree, you'd see four. Huh?
Probably. Yeah, I don't remember that, but that would make sense.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I thought I was in the woods. I was actually in like a brook.
Yeah, but I think you actually did them a favor, because like, could you imagine whoever owned that house after the wedding coming into that bathroom and finding what you left behind?
No,
because you aren't coherent enough or sound of mind enough to like clean up after.
Right.
So you're leaving what's left.
I was drunk. I had just eaten food that I don't remember what I ate. And it had all come right back up. So then I was hungry again, which was the really, really weird part, too. I'm like, not taking that chance, but man, you know, another whatever I ate sounds kind of good, even though I just threw it up.
You saw it twice and still don't remember what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this is a lot of time, a long time ago.
That's so funny. You saw it come up a second time. He's like, I still don't remember.
To this day, the animals avoid that spot in the woods.
Probably. Yeah.
There's a big brown spot in the grass.
They all just circle around it. Why?
It's dried out now.
The grass is dead there.
Ryan is like a reverse.
Fossilized vomit.
Yeah. He's like a reverse Snow White. The animals just won't go anywhere near him.
Oh, gosh.
He's the animal's version of Bigfoot. He's just like this tale that he tells people. They're not convinced that that animal actually saw him. But they're like, well, look at this track. look what he left behind. Folktale within the animal.
I guess it gives, he's gonna puke a whole new line of credence.
Oh, gosh. That would be your gimmick now. Oh, gosh. Well, we know now that if Ryan does drink in the future, we just, like, got to keep, like, a small bucket nearby that he can just take off into the woods somewhere.
Or I'll just stick to the mocktails. I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think drinking's probably not out of the question at this point.
Yeah, I been drunk twice, never enjoyed it. And then there was that point in time where, like, I tried to drink, and I'd go out every occasionally, and I'd order, like, a White Russian or something. And I'd drink, like, a quarter of it. I think one day I was like, why am I forcing myself to do this? Yeah. I never finished these.
Yeah.
Why am I ordering them? I think I'm just done.
Yeah, and they're sweet tasting and stuff, but, like, unless you're trying to feel sleepy, you know, there's really nothing else, really. I get that.
Yeah.
It's... I envy, like, those people that could just, like, throw it back and just not be affected. Like, I've seen so much. I used to be that person.
Oh, I know you did. I am aware of this. I sat on it a number of occasions.
I could never replicate it again. That was years of practice. I was starting at 16, and
we had some wild times back then, man.
I have early memories of, because my family would just, like, take me along with them. Like, when I was in high school, when my mom and dad would go to parties, they would just kind of take me along with them instead of finding a babysitter or something. So I'm like, yeah, 16 is probably my earliest memory of, like, drinking. And I remember jumping off of their balcony into their pool and being like, watch this. And they're like, what the? Dude, I just jumped off. And I landed in the pool. I was fine. But it probably wouldn't have ended like it was a smaller pool than it needed to be. And it probably would have ended worse if I wasn't drunk and kind of limp.
Just to think about, like, completely what your life would have looked like if you would have, like, jumped and broken a bone and that had discouraged you and that was it.
We were
this close from getting, like, straight edge Caleb.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, if I never drank through high school and things like that, like, what could have happened? Like, I'd be really buttoned up. Like, yeah. Rex's world wouldn't exist. No. Like, Rex wouldn't exist.
No, Rex wouldn't exist at all.
This would be a knitting show.
This would be a knitting show, yes, probably. Yes, yeah.
I'm teaching a class on something.
Hello, this is Caleb Cross-Stitch.
This is Whittling Wonders.
For the next 2 hours.
Anybody's looking to do a knitting show, I think we just found a name for you.
Gosh dang it. I love talking with you, Ryan, and we can do it for so dang long, and we're going to. We've got two more segments to get through. But until we do that, Jono's telling me we got to pay the bills, and boy, is that important. So thank you for listening for this first segment. I'm going to send you to our sponsors. Enjoy our break. We've been Rex's World, KXRW 99.9 FM, Vancouver.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. Welcome to my world. We're here with my fill-in co-host, Ryan Black. Are you having fun today, bud?
I am having an absolute blast. It's always so fun to talk to you, share stories, but for everybody that is going to get to hear these stories, that's what I'm most excited for.
And it's really cool because we just got done recording your first sports episode.
Yeah.
And that's always been something big for us, because I think that's truly, honestly, what connected us as friends, like what really got us connected. Ryan was, I always knew who Ryan was when I got to high school, because Ryan, followed every team at our high school, just like on top of it, always knew how well everybody was doing, always knew who the best players were, always knew who was watching the best players. We had a probably a one-of-a-kind player in Garrett Grayson, who played quarterback for us at Heritage High School. We ended up being drafted to the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. He played college football at Colorado State all 4 years. Yeah. He was there before people were moving around a whole bunch and stuff. Mm-hmm. He found a school that wanted him, and he stuck with them.
Yep.
And you were easily like. Calling you his biggest fan sounds like demeaning. You were his biggest supporter. You knew everything that was going on in his life, like football wise. You knew everything that, like, college wise, when if colleges were talking to him and stuff. And that's how we kind of connected and met, was like you always being at the games. Mm-hmm. And you always being, you were at practice sometimes, and you were at, you know, you were like our on field reporter before we really even got to that point.
You remember what I used to bring the tape recorder around?
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you had a tape recorder, and you would interview us about the games and stuff.
With the little micro cassette tapes back in the day. Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. And that's kind of how we met. And we were in, I always knew who you were, but we didn't become like friends until we got, until we got put into the same math class together. Yep. And it was a weird math class because, like, it was like it was the beginning of when, like, you did math on the computers, which was really weird.
It was like the precursor to when you did everything on the computer. That math class was like the first class that I'd ever structured that wasn't like a computer class, that all the work we were doing was on that program.
Right. We would do stuff on paper, and then we would go out to like the computer labs
We had Mr. Wild, but when we had that female the second year, remember
the lady teacher just
it was
on the computer.
Strictly on the computer.
Yeah.
We couldn't get away with watching sports in that class nearly as much.
So that was like our thing was in Mr. Wild's class, Ryan had like this like deal with him where he could go out into this like other like like side classroom type thing. It had like a row of computers, but it was like a private area, and I got to go with him, so he wasn't in there alone. And we would sit there and we would not do math. And we would
pull up math when the teachers were coming by,
or we would do math when we were talking about sports stuff. But like we would connect over Ryan Parker songs, which we would connect over the ESPN. We'd argue over different sports because, you know, I hate the Oregon Ducks. I hate the Oregon Ducks, and he loves the Oregon Ducks. And we would argue over that back before the Ducks got like pushed into a real conference and stuff. You know, he hates when I say that. but we would hide in that room, and that's kind of the basis of our not always doing the right things.
No, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
It's where it kind of began, and I found that Ryan was, that's where I learned that Ryan could be a good partner in crime. He was willing to do the different things that maybe would have gotten us in trouble, but also, like, if we don't get caught, we don't get in trouble.
I was gullible,
And I had never really been, like, cool. And so I was like, this is my way to be a cool kid. Which was a really bad idea. That mindset really cost me my last, like, 2.5-3 years of high school. I went from a straight-A student to not a straight-A student.
Player Rex.
That's not what I was going to say.
That's a common theme. It's okay.
A gateway to that, for sure.
The listeners right now are like... Because they're like, something happened in their life that happened recently after they started listening to Rex. And it's like, oh my God.
This could be Rex's fault.
You know, it does help if you have things to blame on Caleb. I'm just going to say, it makes it a lot easier. You just blame Rex.
There's a lot of, I have a lot of, my friends all have different, you know, funny stories. Like Anthony, who we were just talking about getting married and stuff. I used to go out downtown Vancouver with him, and there was this place called Six West that just a lot of debauchery would happen at. It was a dance club.
It was like
an 18 and older dance club, so like young, like you can get in pretty early. And there was always fights, there was always problems, but we always stayed clean. The thing was, is we would park way too far away from Six West, so like when the night was over, we were walking back to our cars just drunk, and I'm walking with my buddies, and I just stop, and they're like, hey Caleb, Rex, are you okay, like what's wrong? I'm like, I just need to sit down. And instead of like sitting down on the ground or, you know, on a bench or something, there was like a tiny little ledge where the window was at this restaurant, like, you know, those big windows you can see into the restaurant. It's just small bit of a ledge to where drunk Rex looked like I could sit on that. And I go and I sit down, and Anthony just explains to me seeing this drunk guy sit down, and then all of a sudden the glass behind me just spiderwebs.
Oh.
And I broke the window with my ass. Somehow, I don't know my hind quarters, I guess, for Chano's sake.
I guess if that's the only time that we ever had a hit and run issue, that's probably pretty good.
I'm glad I didn't lean back.
Because we could have, there's that too, yes. Because then you would have been through the window into the building, and then police and ambulances, and
you would
be in jail.
Yes. Where when it happened, Anthony and a couple of my other friends were like trying to get me to stand back up, and I'm like, no, I just need to sit. They're like, no, I don't think you understand. We have to leave now.
The impressive amount of felonies that Caleb never got, that he could have, is fascinating when you look at it.
Well, I don't, My significant other will agree to this, that I don't
do a lot of things with plans. I think plans are dumb, because if you plan something, it never goes as planned. So you may as well just not plan.
That's why Rex time exists.
Yeah. Yes. Before I got sober, I would usually be about, you know, 15 to 30 minutes late to everything.
30 minutes on a good day, Jono. Mm-hmm. On a good day. There were times where Caleb would text me, I'm on my way over. And 3 or 4 hours would go by,
and
I'd text Caleb, and I'd be like, are you okay? And he'd be like, oh, crap, I forgot to leave. And I'm like, cool.
It was all that that extracurricular. So,
oh, my goodness.
It was all the herbs I was ingesting.
All the herbs and spices. Oh, my goodness.
I kept a good rotation of herbs. I was always the go-to to do things like that. Like my buddies, back in high school, the younger guys that couldn't get off campus, they didn't have their off campus pass for lunch or anything yet. I had this Pontiac Vibe that had like a hatch, like back end that had like something that would cover just the top part, so you could have like a little shelf in the back. So I'd put the cover up, and then I'd hide them in the back of the car to sneak them off campus.
Yes.
And I'd pull up to the little security guy, and there's like one or two people sitting in my car. It's like me and one other person, and then we get to the parking lot of Taco Bell, and like a clown car, I'm opening up my trunk, and there's just like 4 or 5 underclassmen just rolling out to go to Taco Bell.
My favorite was one of the times you did that with me. We were at Taco Bell, and that
female security guard pulls into the drive-thru and you were like, Ryan, duck down.
Look at that.
Because she would have come in the restaurant and dragged me back to campus because she knew I didn't have a pass.
He specifically was not allowed to campus.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Ryan did a lot of his stuff on his own, too. Like, we gave him that infinity gauntlet of popularity, and suddenly he just turned into Thanos and, like, it's like, school doesn't matter anymore. I'm inevitable.
Pretty much.
There was a time where she was like checking the back and like was poking into the back and I'm like my buddy was like getting stabbed with this like metal rod and he's like being quiet. Oh God. Or another one was we pulled up to the drive-thru and because we didn't have a lot of time, so I had them, they were all still sitting in the trunk, and you could kind of it wasn't a true trunk, so you could hear them in the back. And we're sitting there in the drive-thru, and I'm ordering, and I finish ordering, and I was like, did anybody else want anything? And you just hear from the truck,
two tacos, no sour cream.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No tacos, no sour cream.
They're ordering from my trunk. Like, we can't get out to order.
Yeah, and no wonder the orders were always messed up.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was an instigator. The thing, too, is it wasn't like...
smuggling Caleb at his finest.
Well, it wasn't like I was being, like, inconspicuous either, because my vehicle, when I was in high school, said my last name across the front. Like, a big sticker. Like, my last name's Roush, and, like, they have Roush Motors and Roush Racing and stuff. Oh, okay. So, like, the Mustangs and stuff said Roush across them. So my parents thinking our last name is Roush, doesn't matter if we have a nice souped up car that is a Roush motor, we're gonna put Roush on everything. So like my parents drove this Hyundai, black Hyundai Sonata with a Roush Racing sticker across the front. I wasn't racing anybody. We were definitely losing. So my Pontiac Vibe had one as well.
Oh my god! Because
they thought they were like doing something cool. At first I thought it was cool. I was like, oh yeah, I matched the family. And I realized everybody knew where I was.
Yeah. You weren't going anywhere fast. You had 9 people in the car half the time.
No. And it actually ended up biting us in the ass, too, because my father was a drug addict. And we eventually finally got him out of the house and stuff like that. And I hadn't heard from him in a while. And we woke up one morning because people were just blowing up our phones like, have you seen the news? Have you checked the news? Have you seen the news? And we turn it on, and there's this report of a guy sneaking into onto people's property and like stealing their like equipment out of their work vans and stuff, like melting the locks and stealing it. And they not like at first they show a picture of him. I'm like, oh crap. And then they show this video. And it's like somebody's property video, and it's like set on the van, and you see him walk back and forth, and we're like, okay, fine, like maybe we could talk. Like they haven't said his name yet. Like maybe we could like say that's not him. We're like, that could be anybody. Yeah. Then he goes back to the car and drives away, and there in full shot of the camera, in full view, is a black Hyundai Sonata that everybody knows because that's the Roush car with Roush across the front, just driving by. We're like, oh no. And we've never put Roush on the front of our cars ever since.
Yeah, that's a one and done kind of thing after something like that happens.
Oh, yeah, he was not only committing crimes, but he was doing it with his freaking last name across the front of his getaway car. A very, very easy to see getaway car.
Like, if you're gonna be a criminal, be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't recommend being a criminal by any means. But don't be a dumb one. Yeah. Don't go around and commit crimes when your last name is plastered right on your car camera view.
On the contrary, many great criminals blurted out their name to the bank as they were breaking in. Of course, this was in the 30s, but...
Yeah, that's true. You'll never catch the great! And then say their name and run off.
Bugsy Malone!
Yes, exactly.
Nah!
That was the thought that came to mind when he was saying that, too, because I was like, how did mobsters be good criminals? They were really reckless.
I mean, that's why they were famous, though.
Yes, that's true.
And like, and the ones you didn't know about were the ones in charge, so that's probably they were probably the good criminals.
Oh man, I'm actually glad I didn't like grow up in a city that like the mafia existed, because I probably would have ended up some kind of enforcer or something dumb. it's like Rex the Fist.
Yeah. Roush. That would always be your last name, though.
One of our herb gathering missions where you didn't end up giving somebody the money, you would have given it to the wrong. You'd have grabbed the wrong bag from somebody.
Right, absolutely.
Oh my goodness, things could have gone really bad for us.
Yeah, because I wasn't a very good drug dealer to begin with.
Yeah.
Back in the day, so it's like it didn't really work out.
We were all in high school, so it's a good thing. Yeah. Nobody was really good at that in high school. Nor should you be. That's not an advert to.
I mean, I didn't sell drugs in high school. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
This never happened.
That ever happened.
Statue of limitations.
It's not something I'm clearly capable of.
It's all in the past. Statue of limitations.
For those needing a visual, Rex and Ryan are both basically telling their life stories to me. Just go, judge him more. Judge him more.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you're getting the firsthand insight. That's for sure. You're going to start having quips to send back at me that only Ryan's going to know. Ryan's going to be listening later, cracking up, as Jono is, like, calling back to this episode.
I love that. I love a good callback. There's nothing like it.
I couldn't be more thankful, though, for how much you put up with and still being here, because like we've been together been friends for a really long time, and there probably were lots of times where you're like, I'm not getting in the car with him again.
yep.
And then you did the next day.
Thankfully, those times are over, and I get in the car with you now, and I'm just hopeful that you know where we're going. Be like, oh, are we going to, where are we going to eat again? I'm not sure.
Or he's worried about what I'm listening to.
Yeah,
now the worst thing is making him listen to like a Bill Maher monologue or something.
Yeah. Like,
this thing is so funny. This is so funny. And it's like something that is like not even his thing.
Like, let's get back to the music, shall we?
Yeah. I don't know how many times I've gone to anybody really, but Ryan mostly, where I'm like, this is or will be funny. And then him not laughing.
My favorite is when you have to explain to me why it's funny. I'll go through the video often. And I'll watch it. And then you'll be like, no, it's funny because of this and that. And I'll be like, oh, now I get it. Thank you.
I'm giving him one of those like Easter egg videos you see on YouTube. I'm breaking down the video for him. It's his own personal one. Rip Rex here with the Dan Soder documentary. This is why it's funny.
Exactly. Yes. Like exactly. Like,
yeah.
Oh no, that's too good.
Being that it's too good, we do gotta pay our bills. And that being said, we're gonna send you off to commercial, but we're gonna be right back for our final segment of Rex's World. Thank you for coming into my world. We will see you soon. KXRW 99 Vancouver.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington.
Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back to our final hour of Rex's World. I am Rex. Welcome to my world. Ryan, thank you for joining me this whole time. This has been a really great time. I do want to ask you a couple of things, though, because, like, this is a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
And sure. You've been out to the club when I was working there multiple times. You got to see some really cool stuff. Were you with me when we met Mick Foley?
Yep, Mick Foley.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you hooked me up with getting to meet Adam Carolla when Adam was there.
Oh yeah, meeting Adam Carolla was pretty cool.
That was super cool.
AJ Wilkerson is a guy that you love a lot. Shout out to AJ. He's a comedian on the spectrum. Who is really funny. He's always moving, always shaking, always moving around and stuff.
Do yourself a favor, if you guys haven't heard any of AJ Wilkerson's stuff, go on YouTube, look him up, and just be prepared to laugh. I don't think I've discovered a more funny, just somebody that I can relate to on such a personal level because of him being on the spectrum and just his delivery and the way he is such a character just because of his body movements. It's just everything about AJ Wilkerson is amazing. Take 5 minutes out of your day and go watch an AJ Wilkerson skit.
He's very self-aware. He's very like, he knows that you're watching him like stem on stage, and he's like making jokes about it. And we saw AJ for the first time. I think he opened for not Kevin Smith, but Jason Mewes.
Yep.
He was Jason Mewes' opener for the weekend at Helium. Jason Mewes is. He's a lot of fun. He's a good guy. He's definitely far different than what he used to be and stuff like that. I always loved having Jay there, but AJ would hang out with me at the merch table while I was doing merch for Mewes, and Mewes would too. He would eventually come out, but it was usually me and Jay just like talking about Dogma or talking about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back or talking about Jersey Girl or talking just different stuff that we liked that were like Kevin Smith esque or Kevin 100%. Smith adjacent.
Yeah.
And then we got to go see him. We got to see him do his first headlining show down here in Portland, which was really fun. But do you have a go-to comic? Like, if you need to laugh, like, do you have a comic you enjoy? Or were you really big into comedy before dragging you out to those?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed comedy. I kind of go through ups and downs and phases with stand-up comedy. And I think definitely when things are a little less crazy politically, I enjoy comedy a little bit more because it feels more like natural laughter than like trying to take politics and turn it into something to be kind of funny.
Yes,
so I definitely kind of have stepped back from stand-up comedy, but you know, everybody that we were just talking about, but I mean, further going back even to, you know, some of the older guys, like, you know, listening to Robin Williams stand-up comedy is
very good.
Very underrated still, I think, even though he's so amazing. He's gone now. Just putting on some of his old stuff and listening to it and laughing is fabulous.
I always tell people the stuff you saw from The Genie mm-hmm. where he was doing different impressions and yeah. different characters and different bits and stuff. Mm-hmm. That is like almost it's almost the closest you get to seeing him do stand up. Right. Like it's what his stand up.
Well, that's part of the reason I love Miss Doubtfire so much.
Yeah.
Him in that movie was so good because he was playing a different version of himself, and so you got to like see his comedic side really coming up. Even Patch Adams. I think Patch Adams is such an underrated movie because he had so many funny moments in that movie.
Yeah.
And it was that perfect combination of like serious topic matter, really good casted for an actor that added levity and moments of levity that were needed in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. What was crazy too is because when I was a kid, my first really experience with Robin Williams were things like Mrs. Doubtfire, Patch Adams, Jumanji, Aladdin, and then when I finally saw his stand up and I see him in these dank dark rooms and he's cursing and he's talking about having sex and things like that, it shocked me. It threw me off because it was not something, because it was him, Billy Crystal, so it's a lady comic that like all three of them would tour together all the time or do shows together and stuff. And seeing Billy Crystal was another one that was like, I was used to seeing him as like a Family Guy.
Yeah.
and then seeing him do comedy, I was like, whoa.
Right.
It kind of was my introduction to like, oh, you can be this one way to people, but like you could also go off to an open mic and just kind of unload.
Yeah. And just let it be.
Oh yeah. That's I think that's my favorite part of open mics, is seeing the comics try new stuff or try stuff that they know they can't do at certain shows because they'll like get in trouble or the crowd will get mad or things like that.
Do you feel like there's too many rules in comedy right now? Like too many unwritten rules, people trying to step on each other's toes.
I don't think it's the unwritten rules. I think it's the gatekeepers. I think there's too many gatekeepers. I think there's too many people. Somebody decided that these are the rules, and now for every one comic that just kind of tries to do comedy, there's like three of them that try to tell you you can't, you know. And I'm not a full on comic. I don't consider myself a comic. I attend open mics. I attend shows. I am close friends with a lot of comics. I hear or witness or see a lot of stories. People also put it on Facebook. There's a lot of comics that like to start fights or make like really hot takes. Then they just take it to social media and just try to rile people up or get people to react to it. And then they'll like make fun of them for reacting to it. And I just feel like that's kind of like everybody's got their thing, but that feels kind of like a lower form of comedy. I feel like there's other ways to be trying to get funny. And yes, this is coming from somebody who's not a comic. And I got to keep saying that because I know when this comes out and when my comic friends hear it, they're like, hey, dude, you're not a comic. What are you talking about? But it's like I've witnessed enough. And I also know what bullying looks like.
Right.
I also
and
know
that's
what clicks
what
look like.
I was going to say it kind of parodies in independent wrestling in a little bit of that sense. So that's kind of where I was coming at. It was going to approach it and be like, you know, I feel like it's becoming very similar in that tone almost.
A lot of people I'm not going to out them, but there's a lot of comics where I hear a lot of their same jokes. I hear them saying a lot of the same jokes over and over and over and over and over, but they're also always telling other comics not to do new jokes or telling them they can't do a joke or like that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. Well, why don't you just focus on your own material a little bit so we don't hear the same 7 minutes every single time you step into that's what a lot of comics, unless they're like getting ready for a special, they've got like 3 to 5 minutes that they're perfecting so that when they get asked to do shows, that's what they do. And when you're showing up with the same 3 to 5 minutes, when I was working at Helium and I was hearing the same sets over and over.
What I was going to say is I remember going to shows, and I think we've talked about this before. I was like, I got to a point where I didn't want to go to a show because I was like, I'm just going to hear the same stories that I've heard. Yeah. You know, because it's the same people.
And a lot of the times it's because they're refining and they're trying to find a tight set, once you've gotten that tight set and we've seen you perform it multiple times and you've gotten bookings and things like that and you've moved on to another level, that's when you start getting creative, start trying new stuff. Like, You're out on the road now. You've performed for other comics that have been out on the road and things like that. You would think that they would just come out with something new, and maybe that's the athlete in me. That's like, you know, I'm constantly even telling the kids I'm coaching, like, you had a great season. Yeah, you're a great freshman football player, but now you got to go become a sophomore football player. And sophomore year is always hard. And you got to stay strong. You got to stay fast. You got to stay just as good as the kids that are older than you. You got to stay just as good as the kids that are younger than you. It's a very treading water feeling, like trying to swim. And if you just stop trying to tread water, you're just going to sink.
Well, and also, like you were saying in that aspect with coaching, getting those kids ready for the next level. I mean, when you've got middle schoolers that are taking that next step to high school.
Some of them never played before.
Yeah. Some of them just think they're going to walk into the high school team and be a day one starter, and they have no idea what high school level competition looks like. I dealt with this over the school year with some kids that I worked with that were playing basketball.
They're
so
taking
just
things
like,
personally when they weren't getting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like you got to be ready, because if you go into high school with that mentality, you're just going to get stepped on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not sitting here to criticize or talk down on the comedy scene, because it's probably one of my favorite things to talk about and experience and be a part of. And it's probably one of the highlights of my life is being able to be at Helium. And some of my closest and best friends are all comics that are all grinders and stuff like that. And I love comedy. I love the art of stand-up comedy by all means, and I think that maybe that's why I'm so expressive about it.
I wanted to get your take on that, because I just think that's why I have trouble with stand-up comedy, but I also love it, especially when I get sad or down and I need to laugh. You know, it's always good to have something that I can put on. You know, that makes me, that's part of the reason I like going back and listening to your shows. You know, they're always loaded up, ready to go if I ever need to, because I'll turn on your show and I know I'm going to laugh.
Yeah. And I've got comics who, when I see them performing that do, you know, lots of new sets, new material. And this is a benefit to always having new material or not doing the same material over and over again. But like, my buddy Ben Harkins, shout out Ben Harkins. He was the director of Intrigue for the soap opera I was on. He was last year's Portland's Funniest Person. He does two different bits. One's about like how great Dollar Tree is, and walking through Dollar Tree, and it's like, I can get a Snickers and scissors for $2. Like he doesn't wait. I'm killing his joke, but it's along those lines of like how great it is. And then he's also talking about like how great or universal Little Caesar's pizza is for the price. And I love those two bits he does. It's so freaking funny. And if he ever like ran, because he doesn't do them very often. I've never asked him to do them, because like I'm not gonna walk up to a comic and be like, do jokes.
Yeah.
But if he ever did it, if he ever pulled those out, I'd lose my mind. I'd laugh so freaking hard, because I adore those jokes. Lots of comics have those jokes that I'm like, if he like, I don't hear it very often, but if you brought it back, man, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I mean, again, there's another parody for comedy and wrestling, because I feel that like I feel that way when a wrestler comes out and, you know, pulls a spot out that we haven't seen for a very long time.
Yes, or a gimmick that we get. Broken Hardy and Willow just came back recently.
Yep, yep.
When we get like The Undertaker, when The Undertaker stopped being the biker and went back to being the Dead Man, people lost their mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, I agree. Even something as simple as like the John Cena turn, when he went back to being a face and everybody's like, yes, finally, thank you, we were tired of this. it's very valuable, and it's good to have in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. It's a very good trick to get reactions out of people. Absolutely. Because there's like, I probably can't ever bring this back, but my old gimmick, like I would, and it would honestly work so much that I would sell solo cups. Like I would buy a big pack of solo cups and like sell them off for $1. And we'd fill them with a beer and we'd chug them together, and it would be a race. I'd race them and I'd always beat them, because I was always faster. But like, if I ever just like reached out in the crowd and grabbed grabbed somebody's beer or grabbed, you know, a cup full of something that looked like beer and I just hammered it real fast and then got back into the ring, they're gonna lose their mind. They're like, yeah, like so cold almost. Like, and there's lots of people. There's not a lot of wrestlers liked that. Yeah. That was something else that people would complain. And part of me feels like it's because it got a big pop and people would react to it. But I mean, I understand. They're like, this guy's going and hammering a beer and then going out in the ring and wrestling. You can't be under a substance while like I had one beer. And I think you've listening to these stories
and being behind the scenes of independent wrestling, I can promise you there's plenty of people that are in that ring that shouldn't be, under things that they're not supposed to be doing, but they are. Yeah, so
that one beer isn't getting me drunk. If anything, it's sitting at the bottom of my stomach until the end of the match.
Right, exactly.
And then I go and Ralph it up.
Yeah, exactly.
that's 100% what happens.
Yeah.
They just look for reasons to try to like, oh, I don't like this guy, or this guy's popular. Mm. Let's get him out of here. Yeah. I'm not gonna out anybody. I'm not gonna call anybody out. This all happened at a promotion I'm not at anymore.
Right. No, definitely.
Shout out to Roundtable Pro Wrestling who have been able to kind of not take that stuff out on me, you know, and treat me like a normal wrestler, which I will be back. You guys, by the time this airs, we will have already had the show. Brian Brooks will have hopefully defended his title against a Big Vicious. We'll hear about that next time he's here, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll tell us about how Big Vicious kicked his ass and then he somehow came out with the win. We don't know. That's usually how Big Vicious matches go. That happens when I wrestle Big Vicious. Big Vicious throws me around the ring and beats me up and beats me up and beats me up. And then when he stops for a breather, I pin him real fast.
Hopefully he remembers to take a shower. That's the other thing.
I don't think they have a lot of showers in the abandoned mental asylum he lives in.
That's true. You're right about that.
That mental asylum is not still in function. Like there isn't doctors there. There's no medical professionals at the at the insane asylum that Big Vicious lives in.
Oh my gosh, you're not wrong about that.
It looks like one of those buildings the characters from Walking Dead walked into. It's just all tore up. There's blood on the walls. It's not necessarily human blood.
Oh my gosh, man.
But by the time this happens, I will have hope. We'll have. If I didn't win, I put a good beating on JD Grunge, because track record of when Rex wrestles guys that are smaller than him, usually that means that he can pick them up and then throw them around or put them back out on the mat really hard.
Yeah, hopefully the really offense easy. Gets to shine this weekend.
So I like my chances there, but I made a statement that I think you're going to enjoy. I don't get your little reaction on this one, but... American Sexy is no longer the tag team champions. And I'll tell you, they are not the tag team champions because Rex made sure that little man who followed in Rex's footsteps, who just wanted to ride the wave of the Rex Nation, who just showed up in camo and said, hey, I'm an army guy, had no character of a shovel. I had to carry this man in all of my gosh darn promos, and you know what? Now he can't carry the title anymore. And I made sure of that.
The sweet victory of having the final say definitely sounds like a Rip Rex thing.
I always had the final say, whether we were cutting promos, whether we were wrestling. Like, it was pulling teeth to get this guy to cut promos. It was pulling teeth to get this guy to be interesting. And then he goes and latches himself up to a fancy pants vet who I'll give him all the credit in the world, but he's not Rex. And we showed you that he wasn't Rex. And now you're titleless. Now you're a man, an army man without a country.
Oh, I like that. An army man without a country.
And it's all Rex's fault.
Well, that's fitting because we are living in Rex's world.
This is my world. You guys have been a part of it. That is a great way to end this thing. The great way to wrap this up. Guys, if you haven't seen the most recent episode of Roundtable Pro Wrestling, if you haven't seen everything that happened there, go anywhere you can. Find Roundtable Pro Wrestling on social media. Find where we stream all of our episodes. Please stick around and always visit KXR.com to catch the Rex's World catalog. You like this show, you want to listen to more shows, I suggest the Dirtbox Boys one. That one's always fun. Go back and listen to past episodes. Go back and Rex out in Rex's World. And please come back for another episode of Rex's World. I've been Rex. This has been Ryan Black. Thank you for all your time.
Anytime you want me, I'm happy to come on.
And as always, shout out to producer Jono. I love you guys all. Thank you for listening. Shout out to Ali. Thank you for listening. And have fun in the world. I sip the dumb peak watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin. The whole of mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement. Understandable smooth issue that murderers move with. The thief's theme. Play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip-hop has got me stuck like